and Sue.
And this is Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Hello, welcome to the programme which provides the answer to some of life's most difficult questions.
How do you tell a child how babies are made?
How do you tell your husband how babies are made?
And above all, how do you tell your husband how beds are made?
Later on, we'll be meeting Tim Bailey, the overachieving 10-year-old. Little Timmy can tap dance, write poetry, and even understands quantum physics. We ask, should he go to a special school?
Or should he be given a good slapping? But before that, spots, pimples and acne. I'll be talking to the editor of Abscess Weekly.
Plus, moles, warts and carbuncles. I'll be talking to Leon Britton.
And are you baffled by modern technology? Are microwaves, answer phones and video players beyond you? Then why not contact us for advice?
Our email number is elifesex.*868. But our main topic tonight is teenagers.
For many children, adolescence can be the most difficult time of all. As a parent, it's important to build up trust with your teenagers so they feel they can confide in you about drugs or underage sex.
Then you can simply phone the police.
The teenage years can be especially difficult for girls. It's often been asked why so many teenage girls have crushes on horses, donkeys and ponies. Some experts believe it's a form of displaced sexuality.
This can lead to problems in later life, as very few men can carry you home. Or win gymkhanas.
And sex can be a bitter disappointment.
Today's teenagers are less eager to start having sex than their parents' generation. This may be a problem for more liberal parents.
Stevens asked if Jane can spend the night again.
And?
Well, I'm a little concerned about... Well, apparently she'll be sleeping on the sofa.
Again? What's wrong with those two?
Well, do you think he might be saving himself for marriage?
Oh, God, no, not our son. Oh, George!
Well, don't worry, darling. We can work through this, but we've got to be firm. I'm going to give him an ultimatum.
Hi, Dad.
Ah, Stephen, Jane, now your mother and I have made a decision. I'm afraid the pair of you will have to sleep together.
Oh, Dad.
And Stephen, you're to give her a decent seeing to, not just foreplay and petting.
Now we're talking the full Monty, a long, satisfying Roger.
Or you're grounded.
But, Mum, we only want to have sex as part of a stable, loving relationship.
Isn't that a son of mine?
It can't go on like this, Stephen. What'll the neighbours think?
Yoo-hoo! Just popped round to ask if they've done it yet.
Not yet. Not yet, Mrs. Frobisher.
Oh, I'll come back later then. Honestly, the kids nowadays, in my days we were all lacking like rabbits.
Franz Lebowitz, in his book on social studies, defined an adolescent as someone who, when they hear that the phone is for them, is really pleased.
Teenagers are also incredibly excited if they get a letter.
Wow, a letter for me.
Even if the letter says...
Dear Mr. L. Granger, you may already have won a prize in the Witch Magazine bonus draw.
Or...
Dear Mr. L. Granger, are you considering selling your home? If so, we have many clients urgently requiring properties right now.
So delighted is the teenager at receiving a letter that he will invariably reply personally.
To all the gang at Hatfield Estate Agents. Thanks for your letter. I'm not thinking of selling the house at the moment, but do you know any girls? If so, let's get together and party.
No parent ever decides to have a teenager. They are simply the inevitable consequence of our actions, like hangovers or Vindaloo Bottom.
Parents might be less keen on having babies if the nice, cuddly infant stage was cut out altogether.
Push, Mrs. Brett.
I can't.
Come on, Jenny, just a bit more. Oh. I think he's coming now.
No, I'm bloody not.
What was that?
Look, guys, it's 9:30 in the morning. I've had a late night. I just want to lie in, all right?
What's going on, Doctor?
I'm afraid, Mrs. Brett, your baby shows all the signs of being 16 years overdue.
You mean...
He's a teenager.
But that's ridiculous. Babies can't talk.
Oh, that's right, Dad. Walk all over my achievements. Put me down in front of everyone. Go on.
You see, all the signs are there. He's lazy, he's sulking, and he's kept his womb in a terrible mess. Posters everywhere.
Wait, any chance of a cup of tea, Mum?
And he's beginning to treat the place like a hotel. You'll have to come out now.
I just want to be left alone, all right? I didn't ask to be born. I just want to stay in here.
Look, Sonny, if you're going to stop in there, how's about a bit of rent money?
All right, I'm coming.
Oi, don't look.
I'm naked.
In today's world, it's important that teenagers should have a healthy relationship with both parents. Kids, especially boys, need their fathers every bit as much as their mothers. And Sue, despite my divorce, I still try to see my sons David and...
Stuart.
As often as possible. I think they enjoy seeing me because, well, I'm able to give them something that Pamela just isn't equipped to provide.
Oh?
Sky Movie Channel. Ah, it's a wonderful educational tool. Not that you have time to watch much Tunny when I'm there. Last week I bought them a table tennis table, 2 fully motorized 30cc go-karts, then a day trip all the way to Euro Disney. Things Pamela wouldn't even dream of giving them.
No. Is she still on income support?
Well, I don't know what her reasons are, sir.
Anyway, one of the greatest problems that teenagers face is from their own kind. Bullies.
But what can you do if your own child turns out to be a bully? The use of force would, of course, be hypocritical. But what are the alternatives?
Ricky, I understand you've been bullying the second years again.
They were asking for it.
Now, obviously, we don't believe in hitting you.
Oh, shame. I was so scared.
So, what I'm going to do is pick you up from school.
Yeah?
And wait until your mates go by, you know, the ones that stand behind you saying, "Go on, Ricky." And when they're near, I'll get out of the car wearing a bright pink blouse with "Gay Pride" written on it. And then I'll call out in a loud voice, "Come on, Dick, time for your embroidery class."
Unfortunately, Ricky's father had to carry out his threats, and Ricky's mates beat him to a pulp. For many people, the horrors of being bullied remain with them for the rest of their lives. And that's the topic of today's phone-in. If you've been the victim of bullying, please come forward. Or if you've been a bully yourself, please come forward.
Or if you simply enjoy coming forward, please come forward.
Well, our phone lines are buzzing like mad.
But the engineers are fixing them as we speak.
And already we have a caller who, I'm told, wishes to remain anonymous.
Go ahead. You're through to Mike and Sue.
I want to make a confession. I used to bully this kid at school. I made his life a misery.
That's very brave, caller. Remember, we're not here to judge.
I did some terrible things to him. I used to empty his bag onto the floor, stamp on his books. And once, I made him go into assembly wearing a pair of pants on his head.
Oh. Kids can be so cruel.
Caller, were these pants by any chance white Y-fronts with red elastic trim and a name tag on?
Yes, they were, Mike.
Oh, my God, it's Kevin Harding.
Oh, you remember me.
Hi, Kev. Look, I just want to say this. It's very brave of you to come forward. What's past is past. You were a different person then, and there are no hard feelings. You mustn't feel guilty.
Oh, I don't.
Oh.
I loved every minute of it.
Oh.
Don't keep saying, "Oh, Mike." It's annoying me.
Okay.
Apologise.
What? Well, you see,
Kevin, Mike isn't going to apologise. We're not at school now.
Apologise, Mike.
Kevin has got a point, Sue. Well, I can be very annoying sometimes. I mean, just saying, "Oh," is silly.
You're not going to let him bully you.
It's not a question of bullying. Well, I just think that Kevin is simply offering some constructive criticism, and an apology never hurt anyone.
But he's miles away. He can't hurt you.
Yeah, well, that's true, but...
Stand up for yourself. Don't let yourself get trodden on.
You're right, Sue. I'm grown up now. I'm my own man. I am Mike Meadows, respected broadcaster and gardening correspondent for TV Quick. In front of millions of people, I want to say, Kevin Harding, Mike is not going to be pushed around anymore. You got that? Huh? You got that? Huh? Come on, then, come on.
If you think you're hard enough.
Fight, 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 fight,
oh,
fight.
Oh, sir, fight, as much fight, as I fight. Like. Oh. He's run away now, sir. He's run away. I am the hardest. I am the conqueror. Oh, want to be my gang, Sue?
Your gang?
Sorry, I got a little carried away, but...
Coming next, problem teenagers. Some problem teenagers leave home one day, never to return. But not all parents are so lucky. What do you do when a child steadfastly refuses to flee the nest?
Look, son, it's about time you left home. Go on, get your own place, stand on your own two feet.
But, Dad, I'm only 70.
Get out, go on.
Well, no, I won't. I'm staying here.
Go on, get out.
No, I won't.
You don't do any housework, you don't cook, you treat the place like a retirement home.
It is a retirement home.
Oh, yes. Sometimes you don't get home till gone 8 o'clock. We don't know where you are or who you're with.
I'm at the British Legion. With you.
Oh, yes. And when are you going to get a job?
Well, I'm retired.
Oh, I fought in the war for the likes of you.
What regiment?
7th Infantry.
Were you at the Rhine?
Yes.
The Southern Flank?
Yes.
Under Sergeant Thurber?
Yes, were you?
No. I was down at the Somme with Captain Peters.
Oh, you must know my son, Charlie.
I am your son, Charlie.
Welcome home, son. Welcome home. Oh, look out. It's me dad.
Not me. When are you two going to get a place of your own? Go on, get out.
No.
Coming up, what happens when you're born a man but feel deep down that you're a woman?
And what if you're born a man but feel deep down that you're a kitchen extractor fan?
We meet a man who's had the operation, changed his name to Ventair 900, and is now on sale at Rumbelows. And now it's time to turn our attention to a subject which affects each and every one of us. The weather.
Here's our very own Antonia Grace with this week's weather word.
Thanks, Sue. And it's time to get out the picnic basket because it's going to be a smashing weekend. But do take a brolly and a thick winter coat.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Antonia.
Mike, just a sec. What does that actually mean? It's a great day for a picnic, but...
Take a brolly and a winter coat. It sort of makes sense, doesn't it?
Antonia, love, is it going to rain?
Well, Sue, it's time to dust off the barbecue, get the sausages out, and watch them sizzle. But don't forget those wellies.
What is she talking about?
Antonia, love, is it going to rain or not?
Put it this way, Mike. Your plants will have plenty to drink this weekend. So just put your feet up and enjoy the sun.
She's crackers.
Time to rummage round the loft, dig out those sun hats, and stock up on the winter woolly.
Thank you.
Grab that umbrella, put on your overcoat, and mosey on down to the beach.
Antonia, deep breaths, love.
This way, Antonia, dear. That's it. Thank you so very much. And now it's nearly time to meet this week's very special celebrity guest. We are extremely privileged to have as our guest on today's show the legendary Donald Gripper. And he's winging his way to the studio as we speak.
Donald Gripper.
That's right, Sue. We're about to meet the man himself.
Remind us of all his achievements, Mike.
Well, where do you start with a man like Donald? He's, he was in that thing with...
Oh, he's an actor.
Well, he's certainly on TV, I think.
He's not that celebrity cook, is he? Or that fashion designer who,
He's a bit of an all-rounder.
So you don't know who he is either?
Well, he's Donald Gripper's suit. And here he is. He's just walked into the studio, that world-famous all-round enigma, Donald Gripper. Donald, grab a seat, cup of coffee.
Thanks, it's great to be on the show.
We are so privileged.
So, Donald,
What's the coffee like?
Great.
So, well, tell us about, you must be very busy.
Yes, I am very busy at the moment, Mike.
working on your next...
Well, it's just one project after another, really.
In the field of...
That's a terrific tie you're wearing.
Did you design it yourself?
Me? Oh, no.
Just a thought.
So?
Far away.
Are you comfortable in that seat?
Fine, yeah.
We could always swap.
So, Donald, one of our researchers rang you and asked if you could be on the show.
That's right, yeah.
Did she interrupt anything? I mean, were you in the middle of your,
Your job?
I was cleaning the bath.
After a long day doing...
Look, the phone rang and this girl asked if I wanted to be on the programme, so I asked Russell if I could have Thursday off, and, well, here I am.
Russell?
Mr. Grant, I should say. Anyway, he said I could have Thursday off as long as I came to Hoover on the Friday.
You are Russell Grant's cleaner.
Yes, it's a fascinating job. I first started cleaning for him back in the...
Right, we'll take a break there. I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this is Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
We're not interested in cleaning, just sit there and shut up. And now it's time for our final topic tonight. There's no doubt that it's the subject that's uppermost in your minds. Of all the letters you send in to us, over half are about crime.
The rest are stolen before they get here. According to the opinion polls, the crime that people are most afraid of, apart from Hollyoaks getting another series, is burglary. And the most frightening time for a burglary to happen is right in the middle of the night, as this couple are about to find out.
Philip, did you hear something?
Huh? No.
There it was again. Did you hear it?
No.
There was definitely a noise.
Probably just the wind.
Phil, could you?
It's nothing.
Phil!
Right. Hang on a second. What exactly am I supposed to do?
Have a look, I suppose.
Oh. So, I pop downstairs, there's a large man with enormous muscles and hate tattooed on his forehead, and I say, just looking, and then I come back to bed.
You have to say something.
What?
Just say, stop thief.
Stop thief? I don't want him to stop, I want him to go.
Just say in a firm voice, you're a burglar.
You're a burglar. He knows he's a burglar.
What if you just shout, go away?
Go away?
It's fine.
It's just so middle class. This thug's not going to be scared off by some bloke in his pyjamas saying, go away.
Well, perhaps you could leave him a note.
A note?
Well, I only...
Oh, for God's sake.
Do you mind keeping the noise down?
Oh, God. He heard us. How embarrassing.
You know, Sue, I just want to stop that there and say something. I want to put down the script for a moment. And I know that's not strictly professional, Sue, but now and then, even the most impartial of broadcasters has to speak from the heart. The worst kind of criminal in my book is the sort who would want to harm an innocent child. It makes me very, very angry.
I think we'd all agree with you there.
Hurting children is a terrible, terrible thing. There, got it off my chest. On with the program.
Waking up to discover a stranger in your home can be traumatic.
Especially if you can't remember where you met her.
But when confronting a mystery intruder, it's important to be prepared for the unexpected.
Oi! You! What do you think you're doing? Get out of my house now or I'll call the police.
All right, mate, I'm going.
Go on and leave the stuff there. Hey! It's Baxter, isn't it?
Penfold. Norman Penfold!
Baxter Penfold!
I haven't seen you since...
Mr. Connor's class,
Connor.
Isn't it?
Connor!
Fancy meeting you here.
Yeah, fancy. Well, what are you up to?
Well, I've just been made head of liberal studies at Exeter University, actually.
Great, great.
And you?
Oh, you know, keeping busy.
Great. Great, yeah. You left school early, didn't you? Yes, you went into,
Estate agency.
Yeah.
And there was the slump, and the drink, and the divorce, and the accident.
Well, you're looking well on it.
Well, I feel a bit... Obviously, I'll put all the stuff back.
No, I insist. You must take some of it. Look, you've missed our video. It's top of the range.
No, really, I couldn't.
And how about this vase? Ooh. I've never liked it. Come on, let's load the car. Come to think of it, you can take the car as well.
You know, Sue, I just want to stop that there and say something. I want to put down the script for a minute, and I know that's not strictly professional, Sue. But now and then, even the most impartial of broadcasters has to speak from the heart. The worst kind of criminal in my book...
Mike, you've said all this.
Have you got 2 page 8s?
No, you've gone back a page, I think.
Oh, well, I may have said it before, but it's worth saying again and again and again.
Fine. One of the most disturbing aspects of crime nowadays is the way that the media appears to idolise the criminal fraternity. Wherever you look, it seems that ex-convicts are being interviewed, writing memoirs or starring in films.
With us to discuss this phenomenon is reformed serial killer and sadistic murderer, Charlie Corpse Defiler Chivers. Welcome back, Chaz.
Thanks, Mike.
Now, Chaz, I'm going to be blunt with you. You are a man who has killed and maimed innocent people. Okay, so it was in the past and mostly in Wales. But even so... even so, a lot of people at home will quite frankly be amazed that you're given airtime. And I know that they want me to ask you this question. When's your book coming out?
Next week, Mike. Price $10.99 at all good bookshops.
You've worked with all the greats, the Cray twins, Ronnie Biggs, Lester Piggott. But tell us about some of the things that go wrong in your line of business.
Yes, you must have some amusing stories to tell.
Indeed, Mike. In fact, that's the subject of my latest video, Psychopathic Goofs and Bloopers. If I could just give you an example, I'm on this particular job and I'm all set to say my famous catchphrase, I'm gonna kill you,
I'm going to.
And I completely tried. Terrible.
Well, how embarrassing. Yeah. But it's not all laughs, is it? Because when you were finally caught, you did have to pay for all those awful murders.
Yeah. I wouldn't wish community service on anyone. It was the worst 4 hours of my life.
So what got you through it?
My lovely wife and kids, Sue.
They've stood by you?
Oh, yes. Till I poisoned them, obviously.
So, what made you pack it all in and go straight?
Well, Mike, I took a long, hard look at myself and where I was going. And I realised that if I continued my life of crime, it was only a matter of time before I started getting pestered by Barbara Windsor.
Well, best of luck, Chaz. Do please stick around and have a coffee. And now, on this special crime-cracking edition of Life, Death and Sex, I'd like to welcome our expert on all things criminal, Chief Constable Trevor Fields.
Good afternoon. Oh, hello, Chaz. Nice to see you.
All right, Trevor.
Now, Chief Constable, a lot of people feel guilty the moment they see a policeman. And perhaps all they're worried about is some little peccadillo in the dim and distant past.
Yes, Mike, but nobody's perfect.
Well, exactly. You know, I mean, I may be good old lovable Mike, but, well, I'm human too. I've had the odd driving offence, the occasional student prank. Like all male undergraduates, I used to duck and dive, snitch the odd item of underwear from the girls' dorm. But what we're talking about is the hard...
Sorry, what was that?
What?
You stole women's underwear?
Not stole, Sue. Snitched. We snitched.
But underwear?
Yes, me and just about every other normal young man in the world, Sue.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Where have you been, Sue? Chief Constable Fields, enlighten this woman.
It's an unusual and rather serious offence.
I don't mean as a copper. Oh, come on, Trev. Man to man, bloke to bloke, harassed male to harassed male. You've done it. Of course you have.
I wish I could help you out, Mike.
Well, where's Russell Grant's cleaner? You've done it, haven't you? When you were a lad, it was a laugh.
Afraid not, Mike.
Chad, you're an old lag. Tell these naive innocents.
Sorry, Mike, I draw the line at that sort of thing. In fact, if you were in prison, I think you might find yourself on the receiving end of something rather unpleasant.
Right, okay, okay, we'll move on now. Sue.
Now, before we leave our crime report update special, we're going to examine the relationship between crime and television. Can TV programs influence our behaviour?
Well, I don't know about you, Sue, but when I see some of this mindless violence they show, I just want to kick the screen in.
So, is there a link between young people's behaviour and the programmes they watch? We sent our reporter, Sally Kermode, to investigate.
I'm standing at the centre of London's notorious Urine Towers estate. Now, if I could turn to you, Professor Drake, you're an expert in media studies. Do you believe that television has an effect on young people's behaviour?
Most certainly. I have a copy of the Radio Times here, and at the moment they're showing Delia Smith on BBC One, the Roux Brothers are on ITV, and Raymond Blancs on Channel 4.
So, would you say we're in for some trouble?
Oh, undoubtedly. We can expect a serious clash of different flavours tonight.
And now there's a small crowd of youths gathering. We understand that they are preparing some crab-stuffed courgette with cranberry and caraway sauce. And, oh my God, I can see the flames beginning to soar.
It's the flambé duck with a tureen of summer vegetables.
And now the police have arrived. Apparently, they've been watching BBC Two.
Keith Floyd's been on.
And yes, one of them has fallen over. But now they're going straight in with some pan-fried monkfish with mussel and saffron sauce.
Well, that's typical police overreaction. A quite unnecessary use of powerful spices.
Superintendent Plains, would you agree?
Not at all. We believe that this trouble has been orchestrated by a small gang of politically motivated pastry chefs.
And we are receiving reports, so far unconfirmed, that some youngsters have been watching the real holiday programme, and now they're falling over too. Back to the studio.
Thanks, Sally. And we've just heard that those particular rioters have been dematerialised and beamed onto another planet by someone who's been watching Star Trek.
That's all for this week. Next week, we'll be looking at safety in the home and testing a new smoke alarm which is so sensitive that it goes off before you've even put the toast in the toaster.
And we'll be meeting California's ugliest man who's been told he needs planning permission if he wants to look out of the window.
Plus the Bermuda Triangle. Why do we never hear about it these days?
I'll be asking, has it mysteriously disappeared? I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this has been Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue was written by Bill Dare. It starred Robert Duncan and Julia Hills with Roger Blake, Debbie Isett, Mark Kilmurray and Dan Strauss. Music was by Mark Burton and the producer was Pete Sinclair.
Look, now we've finished, Sue, you do believe me about that pilfering business?
If you say so, Mike.
It was just a childish phase.
Well, let's say no more about it.
Because I'd hate you to think I'm the sort of bloke who'd sneak into your dressing room and go rummaging about in your middle drawer or something.